Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Make Comics Podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. And today is a little bit of a different format. I am joining writer, editor, root beer connoisseur Heather Antos to talk about a subject that I don't know a lot about. And we have a special guest joining us in Will Robson, artist and French bulldog owner extraordinaire.
And we're this is all true.
we are fortunate enough that you two have worked together at Marvel, and we're going to talk about portfolios and working with essentially how do you get started in talent scouting. And Will, for folks that might not be familiar with your work, maybe talk about some of the stuff that you've done for Marvel, what you're working on now, and then a little bit of backstory, how you wanted to get into comics and what you did to get to the point of starting to talk to somebody in an editorial standpoint or a talent scout standpoint.
Sure. So it's funny because I've actually been listening to this podcast for many years, because when I was trying to break in, I started trying to break in 2013, and that's when I really knuckled down and started learning how to draw, and I was looking for all outlets of information, and this podcast was one of them. I mean, I've even written into this podcast in a very old episode that you guys answered, which is funny. I can't remember the question, but I'm pretty sure it was something along the lines of, I'm someone in the UK, how can I get in front of editors when they don't visit my country too much, or something like that.
And Andy spilled all the secrets.
Yeah. They said, oh, you're screwed, kid, just go home.
Just give up.
I was like, I am home, I wrote in
2000 AD's there.
Yeah, oh god, they hate me. But I listened to this podcast, two podcasts. One was with it was both Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith, and he interviewed Greg Pula on one, who's a huge influence of mine. And he interviewed Jim Lee on one, and they were really inspirational podcasts about like what they went through to become a comic book artist, which was, I basically knuckled down for 2 to 3 years, and I just spent all of my time and effort on learning how to draw. I drew every day, all day, constantly, and then eventually I broke in, and I was like, oh, well, I guess that's the way you do it. So after I graduated university, I went to film school, and I was really into creating stories and stuff, but it was all too expensive to make films to show, you know, different companies, etc.
Sure.
And I've always loved comics. So I started trying to get into that. So I really did knuckle down. I spent so much time. I've worked on tons of independent projects. And then I was also going to different conventions where there were certain editors, like I said, 2000 AD. The only reason I said they hate me is because my style's too cartoony for like the 2000 AD look. But I met with them, and I met with IDW and loads of different people, and finally Marvel eventually came to the UK. Heather was at that show as well, although I didn't know or meet her at that time. luckily, it was my sort of last hurrah. I was like, right, I'm turning 20. This is only 2 years ago. I was turning 26. I need to break in, otherwise I need to get a real job. Because working in independent comics, I was only making like $8,000 a year, and I was like, okay, I need to stop living off of my brother's sofa and find something. But it was the last hurrah, and luckily CB liked my work, and then through that I met Ricky, and I did samples, and then I got picked up by an editor and did some Star Lords, which was great, and then I got a chance to be the main artist in Great Lakes Avengers, and my career sort of snowballed from there. So. That's a bit of a nutshell.
And you mentioned CB, that's CB Cebulski?
Yep, CB.
That's CB Cebulski. Current editor-in-chief at Marvel, and Ricky is Ricky Purden, who is the talent scout for Marvel. I think that might be his official title. I met Ricky a few years ago at C2E2. He did a panel with Andy Schmidt of Comics Experience fame and other fame, talking about breaking into comics. So what, I guess, for you going to a convention, was there something that you signed up for? Did you just seek out the folks that you sought out? As far as you mentioned that Heather was at the same show, were you looking to speak to Marvel editors, or was Ricky the route you took?
Well, they all advertise. I mean, this was for London Super Comic Con, which is a nice, good convention for the UK. And I don't live in the London area anymore, but I did at the time. So I had access to attend these shows, which was great. And usually at these shows, you can meet maybe an editor from 2000 AD or somebody. But it seemed like every year there was different people that appeared. Like I said, IDW came one year, so I met with Chris Ryall, who's like one of the nicest guys in the world. And I almost like did a Turtles thing with him, and I almost did a Judge Dredd thing when they were doing their Judge Dredd thing. But I kept an open dialogue with him. And the same with Marvel coming. I remember Eric Stevenson came to Thought Bubble one year, and I met with him. I was doing everything I could to just get in front of them with my portfolio and see if I was ready yet.
Yeah, and Heather, to bring you into the mix, I think we've addressed it on the show directly. You know, I believe we have. You and I have talked about it, and forgive me if we haven't, but editors going to a con, you know people are going to talk to you about doing work, in addition to, I love Star Wars, it's the greatest. From your perspective, maybe talk a little bit about how you go into a show in thinking about artists, and then from there, I know we talked about some suggestions of how artists can approach editors and portfolio, things to have in your portfolio and ways to think about overall approach.
Yeah, I guess I'll start from, you know, going into a con as an editor. Editors know that every single person coming to talk to them wants a job. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like...
No, I just want to be friends.
Yeah, well, you know, that's nice too, right? I mean, it works out sometimes that way. But yeah, no, like, everyone, we know you want to work, you know. There are very limited jobs in comics, unfortunately, and everyone's hungry for, you know, 100 people are hungry for the single job. But... So, you know, first and foremost, like, I would say don't just come up to an editor and be like, I want to work for you. We know. But that doesn't mean don't talk to them. Don't talk to us. You know, we do want to get to know you. We do want to see that you're a sane human being. But understand that, you know, you're talking to us, but also so are 200 other people at the con, and it can get a bit overwhelming. Like, if an editor seems stressed or short or at a show, or their head is somewhere else, just understand they probably have the same conversation they're having with you right now.
Right.
Me 7 times prior.
Well, I remember one thing I used to do was, the first thing I would do is I would look at what editors were attending, because usually they do say sort of in, you know, who's attending what con, or if you follow people's social media, you can see. And then the other thing I would do is I would look the person up so I know what they would look like, so that I wouldn't just be walking around being like, are you the editor that does that book? Like, that's terrible to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, know what that person looks like. I remember I actually like sketched pictures of their faces, and I had like a little log in my book being like, oh, there's that guy. And also the other thing was,
did you sketch my face, Will?
No, this was for IDW and stuff. No, sorry, no sketches of your face. But
sounds like someone is getting a new Twitter avatar.
You've got a fantastic Twitter avatar, you don't need a new one. But so what I would always do is, if it was, because usually there was a portfolio review, which means you would queue and then you would get a chance to meet. Or the other option is, usually with a bigger company like Marvel, you'd hand in your portfolio and then they would call you back to see. My dog's barking, I don't know why. They would call you back to see if, you know, if you were good enough, etc., etc. But I would, if I had to approach an editor, I would say, hello, Heather, I would say the name with a question mark to make sure I'm talking to the right person. I'd be like, I just wanted to see if it would be okay if I could maybe show you my portfolio. And if it's a yes, then great, you show the portfolio. If not, then you can ask, like, oh, is there a better time that I could talk to you? Just don't pester them. Like, if you can't see them that day, that's fine. Like, it's not the end of the world. Because if you are really wanting to break into comics, there'll be plenty of opportunities in the future, because you're going to keep going to those conventions. So don't feel like it's the be-all end-all, basically.
Yeah, and to further on that too, a lot of editors and a lot of cons, like will say beforehand if they're gonna be there. So if you can, like, reach out to them on social media or via email if you can figure out their email, and just see if you can set up a one-on-one time. Because that's always a lot nicer than, like, seeing someone in the middle of a show floor in Artist Alley and, like, hey, can you look at my portfolio in the middle of this crowded floor? That's uncomfortable for everyone.
to add to that, I would always wait until they were at their booth or something like that. If they were chatting to another artist, there's no way I would do anything like that. Yeah, it definitely catch them at the right time.
Yeah, and then I think further on that, like, if an editor says no, you know, don't take it personally. Again, they're having this conversation with 27 million other people. They're running to panels. They're running, you know, to other meetings. And so it's when an editor says, no, I can't look at your portfolio right now, that has very little to do with you, unless you're being an annoying, pestering human being. In which case, it probably has everything to do with you.
Which there is a lot of reading social cues, and a lot, like you're saying, if somebody looks busy, if they look hurried. I've been with friends who are creators who are, you know, maybe having a downtime or a tough moment, or maybe they're signing something, and you can see the, you can see their eyes going, "Did you just ask me that right now?" You can see that. Shouldn't you be able to see?
And I feel like, you know, I get it. We've all been there. We've all been super hungry. You know, we all really want to draw Batman, or we all really want that X-Men gig, and there's that editor, and there's my one chance, and I've got to corner them right now and get, you know, like, we all get caught up in our heads. And, you know, it's so, so, so important for you to acknowledge that there's another human being that you're talking to, because I feel like, that's where some of the negative experiences come from, is when, you know, the creator forgets that they're talking to a human being, and they're so caught up in the whole, but I'm here and I have my portfolio and I want this job and no one wants it more than me, and you're the one that can give it to me and I need you to look at it, like, blah, 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 blah. I've had people literally stop me in the middle of the convention and, like, grab my arm and, like, be like, why haven't you looked? Oh, I have some stories. But
no,
like,
not physical. Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, rule number one, no physical
language.
Yeah, content. And this was at London, too. This was at that same con, Will.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. But, well, I apologize for all of England.
There is no stiff upper lip. I've been lied to my entire life.
But, like, you know, like, I've had people, like, you know, stop me and be like, why didn't you pick my portfolio? Why didn't you look at mine?
Oh,
and it's,
God.
And it's like, that's not, you know, like, stop, think, analyze what you're doing. Like, that's not a good look for anyone, especially if, like, you could have the best portfolio in the world and I just might not have seen it. It might not have come across my desk, but now I'm going to remember you as the person who, you know, physically grabbed me in a convention and, like, you know, verbally assaulted me as to why I didn't hire you. Now I'm definitely not going to hire you.
Yeah. I know I'm working in the industry now. I'm still pretty green, but it's not like I went to a convention, I saw Marvel, and now I work for them. No, like, I've been through so many failed portfolio reviews, so many no's, and so many opportunities that just I couldn't get because my skills weren't ready. Like, you got it. Like, I think a lot of people, I know I said to begin with, oh, I put everything into, right, this is it for Marvel. If they don't like me, then I'm done. But that's because I had been training myself daily, and I knew that my art pretty much was ready at that point, because I had had so many interviews with so many other editors who told me, you need to work on this, this, and this. And then when I'd see other editors, they say, I like this, this, and this, which is the stuff I just worked on. But you need to work on this, this, and this. You know, you got to listen to them and get better and better and better. But yeah, I forgot what the point I was trying to make there. But
you were saying you didn't just show up to the convention and then here's your Marvel gig. You had gotten there because you'd put in time and you'd responded to feedback and you learned the, maybe you didn't know, go into the situation knowing how to approach an editor, because that is something that's a learned. Oh, hey, are you Heather? Oh, is it now a good time? Can I show you my? Oh, later, great. you know, and if she says no, that's what you get at the convention. If she says, oh yeah, we talked already, shoot me an email once we're done. I'm too busy right now, but thank you so much. I'd love to talk. You know, that in some ways, maybe that's an even better thing to get is that follow-up. And Heather, from your standpoint, you know, I know each situation can vary a little bit, but is there an ideal way the interaction happens as far as, hey, you know, we've not talked before. Say I'm an artist that doesn't know you. What's a good way to approach you or somebody else at a Marvel DC IDW?
I mean, it depends on the editor ultimately. It depends on, you know, their personal preferences. But for me, I've always been a huge fan of the, you know, the precursor. Hey, I'm interested in talking to you either via like Twitter or email or whatever. And I see that you're going to be at the show. I'm going to be at the show. I know you're probably really busy, but if you could spare 5 minutes, you know, I'd love to chat. I think that's always a better situation because then both parties can be in the mindset of, okay, this is, you know, that's what this 15 minute period is for. This 15 minute period is for this one-on-one with this, you know, artist, writer, whatever, where we're going to sit down and talk about their work and what they want and their goals and see if, you know, our goals align, or how we can help each other. That's not always the case though. You know, if you happen to be at a Comic-Con and you didn't know that, you know, say Ricky was going to be there and then you see Ricky and he seems to not be swarmed by 20 people at this moment. Now's your chance. now's your chance to swoop in. You know, it's kind of like Will said, like, you know, you walk up to him. This is going to be nothing new to him. And just be like, are you, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt. Are you Ricky Purdon of Marvel? I'm Heather Antos. And I was wondering if you had a second to look at my portfolio. And then, yeah. And then you just see how he responds. And if he says, yes, great. No, cool. Move on.
Well, I've got a question for you because mostly, there was a couple of editors that I approached that at conventions who were not doing portfolio reviews that I knew were there, but mostly it seemed like every single convention I went to, the majority of editors there were doing portfolio reviews. So is that true, or is that just from what I've experienced?
I'm sorry, can you rephrase?
I said that question in a terrible way. When you go, do editors at conventions, are they mostly doing portfolio reviews like set up by the convention, or is it mostly just you're there randomly?
It depends on the con. Right. It depends on the con. It depends on what the con invites the editor there for. Sometimes it's just to have an editor's presence. Sometimes it is to do portfolio reviews, specifically. But if editors are there doing portfolio reviews, usually the con sets it up.
Yeah.
Like how Marvel does it reviews, you know, you drop your portfolio off at the Marvel booth the day before. Marvel goes through, selects the 20 that they're actually going to have the one-on-one with, and those 20 people are contacted.
Did I ever tell you I sneakily watch you and CB do that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the con that I was trying to break into Marvel to was Heather and CB. And there was like this big like curtain, and they're like, all right, the editors are going behind the curtain now to review the portfolios. And I was like, I need to see what's going on. And I went to the most like the corner of the room just so that I could walk behind the curtain, because it was literally just a curtain on like 2 C stands. Mm-hmm. And then I saw you and CB going through them. But then everyone who else was trying to break in caught on to me, and they formed a big group around me, and some guy was just like, hey, what are you doing? Don't look at that. Get away. And I was like, oh, I've been foiled by everyone.
No, that's really funny. But yeah, like, so a lot of conventions, you know, they'll have like a specifically set up time for you to drop off your portfolio, and then maybe you'll be one of the lucky few that are selected for a one-on-one. But then also, editors are just going to be wandering around Artist Alley. I mean, that's one of especially when I was at Marvel, that was one of my favorite things to do, was walk around Artist Alley and flip through artist portfolios who didn't know who I was. Because then I got to have a conversation with them and ask them about their art without them trying to pitch themselves to me.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I remember I saw a tweet from CB years ago where he was in a comic shop in New York City, and there was some guy's portfolio there, and he didn't know who CB was, and he's like, oh, can I take a look? And the guy said no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you ever say no to someone looking at your portfolio? And then, I mean, if that guy ever realized, like, oh, because at the time he was like the head talent
guy, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah. Sorry. I'm full of little stories right
but that, now. But that's a general, you know, you both talked about how conventions can be those moments where you're hyped up. Maybe you're traveling. Maybe you spent a lot of money and time, and you feel like this is your one shot. And the whole mentality is kind of hard sometimes to just kind of give over to whatever's going to happen is going to happen, or however you want to term, you know, that philosophy. Mm-hmm. Where if you do go into a show with a couple goals, I think, you know, that's for me was one of those moments where I said, oh, if I'm going to go to a convention now, back before I would go as a fan and I'd attend all the panels and I talked to people and was just going as somebody who loved comics and didn't tell people, like, I want to make comics. And when I decided that I was going to write comics and start trying to make stuff at least on my own and self-publish and then reach out to other people, I realized that, oh, I should really lay out my goals. And sometimes those goals are just go and have fun. Sometimes those goals are, I really want to see if I can meet an editor. You know, how do you get from A to B to C can be a little bit of figuring out. And I think we all have, you know, to a point, but to your greater point, there shouldn't be any bad conversations. You know, you shouldn't be the person that's dismissive and says, I don't want to show you my art. You know, it is that thing where you treat everyone like they're the editor-in-chief of Marvel.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you want more people giving their opinion?
Why wouldn't you? Exactly. And
yeah, no, I mean, that's very fair. I remember when I was still, like, trying to break in and meet editors and try and network and all that. I was at New York Comic Con, and I was just walking around with a couple friends that were pros in the industry, and stopped at a table, and, you know, he introduced me, like, oh, this is Mark. Hey, Mark, how you doing? Like, blah, 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 blah. We're talking, introduced myself, and saw a bunch of small chat. And then the other group walks away, and my friend goes, oh, that was Mark Doyle. And, like, I just kind of, like, freaked out because I'm like, oh, my God, that's Mark Doyle. He's editing Scott Snyder right now, and, like, all of these things, and, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, why didn't I, you know? But at the same time, like, Mark Doyle then got to meet me as a sane human being and
right.
Not me, like, freaking out, like, how do I pitch myself as an editor to him?
Exactly.
So, yeah, like, just, like, yeah, at the end of the day, we all want these jobs. We all want to work with these other people, but, like, we're all just people, so act like a normal person. And that's a great first step. But then also, too, you know, it's a portfolio review is just like an interview in any other job. The hiring committee wants you to be the right person for that job just as much as you want to be the right person for that job. Like, right. They're rooting for you.
Right.
You know, they want you to be that person that's gonna draw that next X-Men comic they're looking for artists for or whatever. So just keep that in mind too.
I think a big thing to keep in mind is that hopefully you can ease a lot of stress, because it certainly helped me. Was you're not going to be an editor and they're going to be like, my goodness, you are hired, good sir, I have an X-Men book right now that you can draw. Like, that is not the way it works. It is, you're lucky if you get an email. That means that they're definitely interested in keeping up with your talent as it grows. But don't go into it thinking like it is a job interview, for the fact that at the end of it, they'll be like, they'll call you in a week and be like, yeah, you got the job. It's not like that. It's more like a meet and greet to sort of, I don't know, keep in contact, essentially.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point for to follow up on, is once you have that contact, you know, once you do that portfolio review, ask to stay in touch, you know, get the editor's email if you can, or and You know, don't hound them every week asking for work, but every, I'd say like every, you know, once a month, every 6 weeks, like just send a update and be like, hey, here's what I've been working on. I'm currently free or will be free to take on a new project around this time if you have anything for me. That way, you know, your email might come in when an editor needs help or is thinking of a new project, or when another editor in their office is needing someone. And, you know, cause that's the other thing too, is like editors talk, we suggest, you know, talent to each other all the time. And so even though, you know, you might have met with me and I work in the Star Wars office, I might be suggesting you to Nick in the Spidey office. So,
well, it, and also, like, this is something that still happens currently. I was just on an Image title and I was sort of coming to an end of it. And I was panicking a bit because I was like, oh, God, I mean, I really want to work back at Marvel, but it's like I basically had to break in again. So I started contacting all of my editor contacts and I said, you know, I'm free, but how often would you like me to send you updates of work I'm doing, etc. And what you were saying before was some of it was right place, right time, because I emailed Nick Lowe and he was like, oh, hey, are you still free, because I just need someone to hop in for 7 pages on this Spider-Man book. And it's still like, What I'm trying to say is that the way I talk to editors now is exactly the same as it was when I was trying to break in. Like, it doesn't change at all, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And Heather, with your show notes before we started recording this episode, over, I guess, last week, you had also mentioned cold emailing editors as a potential thing. And I think that's also good to get your take on. And I'm curious if that's different from me contacting you on Twitter saying, hey, I'd really like to talk to you, you know, love the books you edit, and here's a link to my art, or, you know, here's a sequential page in the same tweet. What's a good way that folks should cold email editors or you specifically if they if they wanted that Star Wars gig? What was a way that you found effective, or that you found that, hey, this is everything I need in one email, short, sweet, here we go?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm very open on Twitter, so like I always, you know, had a lot of people like tweet me and be like, hey, can I email you? So that was, you know, that was the first cold response I would get most of the time from folks. But if you happen to get hold of an editor's email and that's where you're gonna reach out first, you might have, you know, 5 PDFs of this series to show, or this giant portfolio that you want to send, or blah 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 blah. This is my personal preference. I feel like, you know, sometimes when people send here's 12 links to everything I've ever worked on ever, can be a bit overwhelming. And so I always like the just initial like, hey, I'm this person, I have been following your work for a long time and I really like what you do. Would you be open to me, you know, sending you a PDF of, you know, my portfolio, or a PDF or a link to my website or whatever for review? Because then, I don't know, then it's not blindsided. Then the editor has some sort of autonomy in the experience rather than feeling cornered.
Hmm.
Which we get in person all the time.
Sure.
And so, I think there's just something always nice about someone asking, like, hey, can I show you this, rather than, here, look at everything I've done.
Yeah.
I mean, what was I going to say on this? Cold emails have been very successful for my career, but I think I hate kind of the word cold email, and it's not exactly like a science. I've emailed people because, one, I want to work with them, I want to work on the properties that they're working on, but it's very different. When I had no accolades to my career, when I was just in the independents, I had zero success with cold emails, because it was just, hey, I'm a guy that draws comics and here's my art. Like, you don't know me, this is the internet, goodbye. And it didn't really work out at all. Like, yeah, I figured I knew a bunch of like, you know, once you get one editor's email, you can figure out pretty much how to email everybody else. And I did email a bunch of people, and yeah, I got no response from it. And that didn't work. It was meeting people in person. That was the thing that really worked. Or if you build up a relationship with them on social media. There was a DC editor I knew years ago, and he saw a bit of my art on Twitter, and then he followed me, and I followed him. I sent him a personal message saying, thanks very much. I really loved the book you've been working on. And he said, oh, thanks. Send me, he actually gave me his email. I said, let's talk an email and take it from there portfolios wise. That worked because that's instant. Like, he's seen something he's liked on social media. Then you can create a narrative from there. But cold emails have worked far more for me with things under, what am I trying to say? Cold emails have worked for me much better now that I've done projects that people just recognize instantly. Mm-hmm. I took this a bit from Tom McFarlane, because he used to send posts to people back in the olden days when people sent letters. But he used to send letters to editors and he wouldn't get much response. And he got one tiny gig at Marvel. And then instead of writing aspiring artist Tom McFarlane, he wrote Marvel artist Tom McFarlane. And he got so many more responses from that. So I did sort of the same thing. I only did 15 pages of Star-Lord book. And then after that, I would say Marvel artist Will Robson looking for work. And that was always my header. And then after that, I would say, hey, how's it going? I really love this book you're working on. I'm free at the moment. Here's a couple of pages. And again, yeah, I didn't send like, here is every single page I've done. It was, no, here is a selection of the best. And I would send that to a bunch of editors that I really wanted to work with. And things worked out, you know, pretty well with that. That's how I got in contact to do Great Lakes Avengers. And some of that is a lot of right place, right time. But there's even cold emailing worked great for me. I just recently did a Spawn book with McFarlane. I'm a huge Tom McFarlane fan. I think I probably mentioned him 3 or 4 times in this podcast already. I'm absolutely obsessed with the guy. He's like the main reason why I wanted to draw comics since I was a kid. And I was just wrapping up Great Lakes Avengers. It had just been cancelled. And I was like, okay, no one's offering me a new gig right now. I figured out his email by typing like T.McFarlane. And you know when you do all that stuff to figure out someone's email. And I finally heard a go through on an email. I was like, oh God, I just emailed Tom McFarlane. But I sent that as Marvel artist looking for work. I've done covers at Marvel that are owed to his work and all this other stuff. And it was a complete cold, blind email, but I sent it in a professional manner. It's not like, please hire me, I'm begging for work. It was, no, if there's anything available, I'd love to work with you sometime. If not, I'd like to keep a dialogue open for potential future work, etc. And things worked out with that. And, you know, I got a dream job, basically, through doing that. So cold emails can be very helpful, but I don't know if they're the most helpful thing if you're not already sort of have at least one foot in the business necessarily. But again, that's just my personal experience. I'm sure there's a million other stories. I think Joe Quesada, he just like walked into DC one day and then he walked back in the next day and the guy was like, you know what, you're in the right place, right time, we actually need a guy, and his career was off. So there's no right or wrong way to do any of this, and trust me, I know, I've studied the crap out of it over many years of how to break in. So yeah,
I think maybe the big picture takeaway too is that both of you, in getting to where you are, did a lot of preparation, did a lot of the legwork, went to shows, learned as you went, you know, took advice, and just tried to meet everything with open arms, open eyes, and recognized it when you were in the right place at the right time, and had the skill set that you needed. Is there any kind of closing thoughts? As I think you've covered it in a really great amount of detail, but any closing thoughts from either of you as far as how to approach folks at a convention?
No, I think you just said it right there. It's, you know, for me, it's all having the prep work and just, you know, just being ready when the opportunity presents itself. And as always, my number one rule, don't be a dick. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, just don't be a dick. It, you know, like, comics are a very stressful process, making these things, you know, super, super high deadlines. It's not always the best paying job, but they can be extremely rewarding, you know, putting out this product with these characters that everyone loves and adores. But it is a collaborative process, you know, you're all working together. So you know, though the editor is your boss, they can also be your greatest ally. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, and advocates, as far as, like you said, recommending for work, hiring again when you change companies, being able to say, oh yeah, we'll deliver it on time, he's easy to work with, if you're considering for that, totally go for it.
I hope that's what people think of me.
Will, any advice to aspiring artists as far as a closing thought of, like, the main thing to focus on?
My closing thought would be is if you meet with an editor at a convention and you're lucky enough to get a contact with them, if they don't respond to you, it's not like they hate you or anything. They're busy. They work in comics. It's a very busy medium. There's people I work with in comics today that I barely get a response from, but I know that they're busy. I know, because I'm the type of person that gets in my head so much where I'm like, well, they're not talking to me, which means they hate my work, so I hate them. And, you know, and I go crazy that way. But I would say, just if you get the email from them, don't celebrate like you've broken in, because trust me, you haven't. Until they give you your first gig, then you can celebrate. Just be happy you got that contact and continue to try and speak with them and build up more contacts. And just know it's a grind. It's not something that happens overnight. It takes years. It took McFarlane years. It took Jim Lee years. It took everybody years to do it. So just, if you really want it, stick to it, because it will happen in years. Maybe not. Maybe you're lucky and it'll happen the next day. So I don't know. That's my closing thoughts.
In conclusion, years. Will, where is the best place to find you online?
I'm very active on Twitter. That's my main spot. So that's at Robson Inc. That's RobsonInk. And yeah, I post art stuff there. I've got a couple books coming out soon. I got Spawn coming out in Christmas time. That's Spawn Kills Everybody. And I've got an X-Men thing, which I don't know the release date of because I'm useless. And I also do my own podcast with my brother. And we've had Heather on as a guest, which was great fun. So if you want to hear all about how Heather sort of got into the business, we interviewed her there. And that's Spider-Man, the Animated Series podcast, which I do with my brother. And we sort of reflect on the old cartoon from the 90s. We interview voice actors from the show and people that work in the comics medium. So, yeah.
Get that where you get your podcasts.
Yep, anywhere where you get podcasts.
Excellent. And Heather is heatherantos.com and at heatherantos on Twitter. Heather, I know you're working on a bunch of stuff. Is there stuff that you can talk about that's coming out?
Yeah. So just, I don't know when this, do we know when this podcast is coming out?
It'll be 2 weeks-ish from this record, a week-ish from this record date.
A weekish from, oh, perfect. So then 2 weeks from the release of this podcast, Redlands number 7 will be in stores. So that's a great horror comic I work on at Image by Jordi Belair and Vanessa Del Rey. And then a month from then, Bitterroot number 1 will be out, which is another horror comic I'm working on at Image with David Walker, Chuck Brown, and Sanford Green, and Rico Renzi, and it's super awesome, and we'll all be at New York Comic Con talking about it. So if you're going to be at New York Comic Con, come say hello. Show me your portfolio. We'll have a good time.
And if you have a question that you'd like to hear discussed on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can also tweet @comicexperience on Twitter, and we would love to talk about it here on the show. And thanks again, Will, for doing this. This was very fun, and I hope informative for folks. I feel like I have learned a ton from the artist perspective on how
I'm glad I made sense, because I usually babble on quite a bit. So I'm sure the editing will be fantastic.
Oh, there's no editing. This is all straight. Everything you said, all the French bulldog snoring, totally in.
Okay.
All right.
Fantastic.
All right. Thanks, Will. Until next time, keep making comics.